Jamuna Tira Vanda Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamuna Tira Vandachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Asaki ki jaya Zubapar ki dhan Narayanam Namaskrityam Madam Chaiva Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is is that there? Yeah. Text number 4, 428, 4. Yeah. Taya Baikalakanya Upabhujamanam Upabhujamanam. Being taken possession of. Vai. Certainly. Yavanaha. Ziyavanas. Sarvata Diksham. From all sides. Dvarbahi. Through the gates. Pravishya. Having entered. Subrisham. Greatly. Paradayan. Giving trouble. Sakalam. All over. Purim, the city. Tayo Pabujamanam Vai. Yavanah Sarvato Dirsham. Dwarbih Pravishya Subresham. Prardayam Sakalam Purim. Tayo Pabuja Manam Vai Yavana Sarvato Disham Dwarbi Pravishya Subrisham Prardayam Sakalam Purim Tayo Pabuja Manam Vai Yavana Sarvato Disham Varbi Paravishya Subrisham Vardayan Sakalam Purim Tayopa Buja Manam Vai Yavana Sarvato Disham Varbi Paravishya Subrisham Radayam Sakalam Purim Tayopa Bujamanam Vai Yavana Sarvato Disham Dwarabhi Bhavishya Subrisham Darbayam sakalam purim. When Kalakanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, the different dangerous soldiers of King of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. The body has 9 gates, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, rectum, and genitals. When one is harassed by the invalidity of old age, various diseases manifest at the gates of the body. For example, the eyes become so dim that one requires spectacles. The ears become weak to hear directly, and therefore one requires hearing aids. The nostrils are blocked by mucus, and one has to sniff a medicinal bottle containing ammonia. Simply the mouth, too weak to chew, requires false teeth. The rectum also gives trouble, and the evacuation process is difficult. Sometimes one has to take enemas, and sometimes use a surgical nozzle to accelerate the passing of urine. In this way, the city of Puranjana was attacked by various gates by the soldiers. Thus, in old age, all the gates are blocked by so many diseases, and one has to take help from so many medicines and surgical appliances. The future is not very bright. Yes. Any comments? Not for the body. Maybe for something else. Maybe it's something else. It's the golden age. Maybe it's the intelligence. The golden age of intelligence. Right? No? The body is describing no way. Yeah? So what is? What does become golden? This is the body. It goes this way. So what's is there anything improving with old age?
Intelligence at the old age.
Yeah, I think about 50, your short-term memory starts to diminish, physically, and then after that, your intelligence starts to go. You become, senile dementia. Until finally, the only thing that's left is your soul. Your character, right? Old person doesn't have much intelligence really, or else it's very deep. Spiritual intelligence, right? And even also spiritual abilities, spiritual senses. Like Prabhupada, right to the very beginning, end, he was still, dictating. His senses were still functioning, but, he literally, a Moggallila, a devotee in Berkeley, describing in Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, how he was there, Prabhupada, in the last, I don't know how long it was, about 3 months or something, Prabhupada just, his liver wasn't working. That was the main problem, I think, the main problem. And so there was no heat in the body. Anything he would eat would just would just become poisonous, like that. So he was just taking juice and something very light, like that, very little. And so he was going to go, to Vrindavan that time or something. It was in Bombay, I guess, traveling. And it's the same story. So he was staying with Prabhupada at night there, And then tomorrow, Krishna Mars was secretary. But he had that one shift, maybe from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock or something. And Prabhupada was lying under the mosquito net. And then he barely had any kind of air in his body at all, strength. So Amogalila thought he should chant, so Prabhupada could hear the holy name. He started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rab, Hare Rab, Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada's kind of saying something softly. He goes over next to him, and Prabhupada's just saying, don't make noise. So he appreciated his chanting was pretty offensive, like that, his noise. Started chanting softly and then trying to chant, more sincerely rather than, I'm going to show my spiritual master how great I am. Maybe I should try and just chant so I can hear or something, And after some time, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj came and asked how Prabhupada was, if he had said anything, and he said, just going to mention about Japa, so anything else, And after some time, Prabhupada's hand went up like that, And Moga didn't know what to do, and Tamal Krishna said, Prabhupada wants you to massage his hand. And so, okay, So he started massaging Prabhupada's hand, and he said his skin was just so soft, it was incredible. It was like something, never felt anything that soft. And he said also that his skin and bones, and maybe a very tiny amount of the muscle tissue, because your body, with nothing else to eat, starts to devolve, you know, to eat the muscles, you know. So some ligaments and a little bit of here and there, you know, bones holding things, muscles holding things together like that, you know. And then he was kind of like maybe looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was looking at him. Then he had this out-of-the-body experience. He said it was so intense. He had this feeling, you know, he was kind of lost external consciousness, that Krishna was telling him through Prabhupada that it doesn't matter what you do, I always love you. There's nothing you can do ever that will make me not love you, like that and stuff, you know, so on. And he said after that, he had so many problems in life with his family, in relations with, you know, authorities in the temple, authorities in ISKCON, you know, everything, his own mind. But he always remembered that, looking for some shelter, right? Your mind looks for something, you know. Oh my God, it's a miserable day. Well, tonight, we're going to go to the movies tonight. Yeah. So your mind, like, looking for some pleasure, you know, take shelter of. So always remember that this is a situation, is that Krishna loves me, you know. And so I should deal with these things, and I should try and reciprocate with him, you know. So then I should try and, like, the GBC and people like that, deal with them properly, you know. So I remember that, and then what happened was that, I guess it's the same story, then they had to go, yeah, pretty sure it is. They had to go to the train, catch the train from Bombay to Delhi, you know. And the train was supposed to leave like 10 o'clock, so they were going to leave from the, like 9 o'clock. They probably wanted to go like 8 o'clock or something. 7 o'clock, he started saying, prepare to leave, you know. But Prabhupada, it's not until so-and-so, we don't want you to have to be sit there in the train station and wait, prepare to leave. Okay, Prabhupada, prepare to leave. All right, yeah. So 7 o'clock. And then Prabhupada kept more and more, like, you know, insisting. So finally they were kind of relieved. But anyway, okay, we're going to get there like an hour early, but Prabhupada's insisting. Okay. So they went down, they put Prabhupada in his car, and Mangalila Devoy was in his second car, and they went to the airport, and they got to the train station, they got separated, they arrived there. And I guess what it was, yeah, just before they left, they called to confirm, and that was the day when there was a new schedule being issued for train things. And the train was leaving an hour earlier, like that. Nobody knew this, you know. Prabhupada hadn't called up, you know. So then they were rushing, because then they were late, you know. So then they, just, you know, because they actually hadn't been following Prabhupada's instructions, so they were just kind of, oh, this kind of, Prabhupada doesn't know, you know. So then they had to get in there, and the car with Brahmananda and everybody with Prabhupada, and it was like, you know, lying in the back seat, was racing ahead, and they were trying to follow. So Moga said they got there, and I think somebody had run ahead to the conductor, was crying and pleading and, you know, please, you know, our Mahārāja Master is coming. So he said, all right, you know. So he delayed this a few minutes. Then Brahmananda was roaring down the platform with Prabhupada on his, on a rolling bed or something like that, you know, screaming, yelling, and out of the way. And people were like, yeah. So they got Prabhupada on, and the train started to pull out, and the devotees were shoving his tiffin and his other paraphernalia in the second car through the window when it's going, and running alongside and stuff like that. They finally left like that, you know. So, you know, and you read the purports, you know, they're golden. Maybe even, you know, in a certain way, they're better than any other purports that Prabhupada wrote. The last purports like that, just like completely like coming from the spiritual world, you know, the very last purports that he produced when he was in this condition. Because, huh? 10th canto, like 1, 2, 3, yeah, how far it is? Up to like how far? You know, no? 10, 12 or something like that.
So up to 10.
Well, someplace, how far it is. I think it's prayers by Lord Brahma. Prayers by Lord Brahma. I don't know if he finished those or not. But those purports, you can realize this is a person. His, you know, he wasn't evacuating. He was running a little bit. He was barely breathing. You know, his vision, he had to see, like, again, like a vision of a Krishna Balaram picture right in front of him this far away. Because there was no prana. So all these things they work on air pressure. No air pressure in terms of all the rest of everything else is very, you know, diminished, you know. But still, Prabhupada was becoming, you know, more and more potent. Yeah. So now that sense, yes. You know. And also too, then he has full intelligence. Yeah. Because it's coming from the super soul. The super soul is telling him, you know, the train is leaving early today. Yeah. And several stories like that. You know. And many things like that. Prabhupada's, you know, Guru Kripa, you know, probably his disciple. He was like in the Air Force. He was like a warrant officer. Like, you know, it's like an enlisted guy who becomes like an officer just because of necessity, combat necessity. You get your warrant, your diploma. So he was like, he was on a helicopter, I think. His kind of his nose kind of broken from there. So he was actually in the war, and he grew up in a really tough area in San Francisco. So he met Prabhupada. He was preaching, really heavy guy. He and Yashodananda were the mean swamis. They were like really heavy, like, you know, on and on like that. And so then he did so much collecting for the Krishna Balaram temple. You know, so many things like that. And Prabhupada had very intense dealings with him long, like a long time, different things. So he said that right at the end, when Prabhupada was there, everybody came in, Prabhupada was looking at them and stuff, and some little exchange like this and that. But the real thing was, okay, I'm leaving now. Is there anything else I can do for you to thank you for all your service and things like that? And that was kind of everybody's feeling, you know. And different people were kind of like, you know, asking for different things, you know, subtly and everything else like that, you know. So, you know, I think he said he was kind of like frustrated, and because he didn't have a good position with GBC, and Prabhupada didn't name him initiating guru and so on. So he was kind of like a little angry, this and that, and, you know, said, well, kind of, my attitude was, well, if I can't enjoy, you know, spiritual prestige, then I just want, you know, material, I want wealth, money, you know, kind of like, you know, like that, somehow or other, you know, I don't care, you know, black or white, you know. So he got involved in transporting heroin and got caught and ended up in jail in Germany for about 3 years, I guess, like that. Yeah. And he was saying, you could see it was his own, you know, damn fault and everything else. And then he was there. He was just, you know, 3 hours like a monk. He was a Babaji every day, you know. Kirtananda Swami said when he was in jail, said it was the same thing as when he was a guru. He wore orange clothes. He would stay in his room. People would bring him vegetarian food like that. And he would offer it to Krishna and cook. And then like that, so it was just, you know, this Krishna had arranged, you know, the same thing for him. But like this intense program of hearing and chanting. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, different people. At the end, Prabhupada was, he was, you know, he was totally potent. You know, like that. Yeah. So Prabhupada says a devotee doesn't lack and diminish his service, but it gets more and more potent. Yeah, as time goes on like that. Yeah. And finally, Keshava Bharati was saying he took care of the correspondences for Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he was answering all the letters and stuff like that about people writing and stuff. And kind of was trying to deal with them, not just like superficially, but take some time. So he spent a lot of time doing it. And his kind of conclusion was that he didn't realize that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was dealing with so many people, you know. And he just couldn't do it with the physical body anymore. Yeah. And he had to actually go to the next another level where he was like just like, you know, dealing with people subtly in terms of like feelings and impressions and perceptions. And you know, Prabhupada says many times, I'm feeling very, you know, I finished the Bhagavatam, I'm feeling greatly made the association of my spiritual master. And he always wanted these things, you know. So at that level, the association is more like buddhi, intelligence. And we just feel some kind of like direction in our intelligence. This is what I should do. Yeah? Yeah? And then, yeah, from that, of course, you can give so many reasons. You can give so many thoughts about it. Yeah, it's because you get this basis there, you know. So I really kind of right now feel like we should. I published the Hanuman Express Dispatch last night. I was up until 11. Actually, I was up until 5 minutes to midnight. You know, everything to go and finishing. I had my letters, my correspondence. Now I got this thing. You know, monkey and piggy are going to, you know, beat the dickens out of me unless I get my correspondence every day, you know. And then I didn't get up at 2 o'clock. What at 2 o'clock? I just, you know, woke up at 4 o'clock again. So it's okay. Yeah. But letters, writing, something. Monkey and piggy. Oh, yeah, intelligence. Yeah. So, yeah, Prabhupada was saying he felt the association with his guru. It's anyway, when Bhakti Subramanian Maharaj left, it was the same thing. It's just, you know, it's not even just like, oh, we can remember things. No, the connection is still there subtly. It's like, you know, you're playing with your children, grandchildren, you know, playing with them, and it's time for the adults to come and stuff like that. So, you know, you sit with the adults, and you know, you're still playing with them, but now less attention. It's kind of like, you know, you're dealing with the adults now, you know. And so they come and bring you something, you're showing, oh, very nice. Why don't you go doing this and that, you know. Okay, you know, they go play a little more. So same way, you know, if we want to have the association with these personalities, either physically separated and they're still on the planet or not on the planet, you know, then yeah, we can have it as much as we want. If we do something really, really intense, then you know, it's you know, it fits into the adult atmosphere. And they'll say, oh, look what he's done here. And they show the picture to people. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, this is the body, right? Yeah. Be pessimistic about the body. It's a fact. Papa says, passing stool is the only person left, the only pleasure left to an old man. And sometimes even that is denied to him. Wow. Actually, I saw two cartoons in the newspaper about that. You know, same thing. About what, you know, progress. Yeah. Almost an old lady, you know. She's sort of like going through all these different things and, you know, popular and beautiful and all these things. And finally, she's an old lady. And then finally, she's an old lady in the cartoon. It wasn't Chronicle, I think, big newspaper. And finally, her last comment was, well, that sure stunk. Stinks. That stinks. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's a universal thing. Shakespeare has it. Solomon, you know, the patriarch for all the Jews and Christians, has it. Many people appreciate this. We were over here in the park, other side of the Morrison Park, with Madhua, with the Festival of India. And I was watching. He was intelligent. He had that big diorama of changing bodies right next to the pathway, you know. And I saw again and again, I was watching from my side at the origins table, that people would be going by on their bicycles and they would just stop and then come back or they'll slow down and look at it. And you can see them, you know, they kind of finally caught on, and then they're like, you see them just going, yeah, this identifying, yeah. Yeah. And then and then you see them like looking at the books, you know, like that, and then you're taking one like that, the coming back book like that. It was amazing, you know, how the potency of festivals and stuff to catch people. Mm-hmm. And then they go with a book, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a natural thing. Yeah. So, changing bodies. Nice drama. You can do it for the children. At a Sunday feast or here, something like that. You can do it here. The congregational members can do something, you know. Everybody, you know, little kids, teenagers in the congregation. Shakespeare, what you could do is you could read Shakespeare. It's all, okay, I'll tell you. All the world's a stage. It's the play it's in, the drama it's in is very interesting. You won't forget the name, I'll tell you right now. It's called As You Like It, as opposed to As It Is, right? Bhagavad Gita, As You Like It. No, As You Like It. It's a comedy. And at one point, you see this old guy with his servant, you know, a young man with his old servant, and this kind of strange thing, you know. So one person says to his king, who's in exile in the forest there, he says, oh, it's a strange world. He said, all the world's a stage, right? And the men and women therein, mere players. They have their entrances and their exits. And a man in his life plays seven parts. The infant, mewling and puking in his mother's arms. Is your English good enough for that? You know what puking is? Vomiting. Mewling. Like the cat, mew, cow, kind of cat kind of mews. Yeah. So crying and vomiting in his mother's arms. And then the young little boy with a satchel, you know, and a shining morning face, making at snail's pace to school. Maybe you remember this when you go to school sometimes, you just kind of take forever and talk with your friends. And yeah. Yeah. It's really, that's why Shakespeare, you can just, in one few words, you get this image, you know. I even saw some woodcuts that went with it, like from an old Shakespeare book, like that. Next is a young man, lover, you know, sighing like a furnace, you know, composing a poem describing his mistress's eyebrow. Oh, Radha, something, you know. Your eyebrows are like the moon, or two black snakes that entwine my heart, you know. You know, so much passion, romantic attachment. The next take is a young man who had his family. Now he's a soldier, right? You know, bearded like the pard, bearded like the leopard. He's got his beard and like that, you know, full of strange sayings and brave oaths, even into the cannon's mouth, like that, you know, like that. You know, Punjab will never die, Khalistan will never die, like that. Cannon is right in his face like that. Long live. Yeah. Next is the justice and judge with good cape on, full of wise sayings in modern instances. The next is the old person. His big manly pipes turned into what, a mere whistle. I didn't see that. I have so much like irritation in my throat like that. Yeah. And then and his skinny shanks. His shanks like that. His skinny shanks, now too narrow for the wide world. You know, walking around becomes difficult. And he shows an old lady, kind of young lady, like a maybe like a 40-year-old housewife throwing water on his old guy, chase him away or chastising him. He's trying to get out of the way. This, you know, this housewife. You know. Yeah. And then the final act of this drama, it says, is mere oblivion. Sans, so ends. Sans eyes, sans ears, sans teeth, sans everything. Like that. So very powerful, Shakespeare. And then you take this and, you know, we're illustrating a point. You know, dehino shmin yata dehi komaram yavaram jara tata. And then Solomon has the same thing. I saw that. Yeah. This is something every probably says by intelligence. You probably find in Shakespeare the same thing. Everybody can, you can appreciate this. You can go to Brahman, you can go to Paramatma by intelligence without a guru. Probably said, but at that point, you just need like, you know, you need like someone to tell you that God's a person to show you. This is some intimate emotional exchange like that, and you realize, yes, this is. I can appreciate this, not just inspiration, but also these feelings that's higher. You know, yeah. So many ways, you know, Mogalila and Prabhupada, you don't forget that. But it's a bija. We may get so many bijas, you know, like that. You know, different experiences. We've got to grow at least one of them. Yeah. By hearing and chanting, developing it. That experience, that's what it meant. I'm appreciating more and more what it meant. Like that. So. Okay?
One day, Master.
In
that he mentioned that he and Uddhava, they went to Prabhupada, go down to Prabhupada, they were about to leave, and then when they were leaving, Prabhupada, hey Uddhava, come.
Yeah.
Took off his guard and put him to the neck of Uddhava. Prabhupada loves more than me.
Yeah.
Prabhupada likes him more than me. I'm sorry, Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Put guard.
Yeah.
But then Uddhava mentioned that after a couple of years, Uddhava left. Prabhupada was trying to give him more mercy, more love, and at some point,
that's what he did. Yeah, or more obvious affection. I had this dream, it was very significant. I became a devotee, reading Prabhupada's books, and I guess I'd seen Prabhupada, but I was living in Sacramento and wasn't going much to the temple, you know. Visited San Francisco a little bit, maybe a couple times in Los Angeles, I saw Prabhupada. So I had this dream, it was kind of like a Mediterranean place, kind of like a sloping type place with some houses down below with tile roofs, and that kind of, it's like Mediterranean. And then Prabhupada was walking, you know, I don't know if I even knew about morning walks, but he was walking with these people like sannyasis and stuff like that, you know. There were so many things in the dream that kind of I couldn't have known that was even more impressive like something, you know. So then Prabhupada saw me and he said, this meeting wasn't necessary. I control from here. And he went on like that, you know. I remember that. So I was thinking, wow, you know, if it wasn't necessary to dream about Prabhupada, well, to speak of meeting him physically, you know, it's not even necessary to dream about him. You know, the real thing is to, you know, to do what you know you should do. That's where, you know, Prabhupada's there. You know, he's by the transparent media of the super soul. Once we surrender to Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Acharya, then he then, you know, communicates that person's position, ideas, consciousness, perspective, you know. It's like Shiksha Guru. Somebody, you know, you go to somebody because your Diksha Guru is not there, your principal Shiksha Guru is not there. He may tell you, your uncle may tell you, well, you know, I'm not sure exactly what you should do like this, but I know your father pretty well, and I'm pretty sure what he would tell you is like this, what I know of your father, you know, being his brother, so on. So same way, the super soul is telling you, well, you know, Prabhupada would do like this and that, and, you know, just kind of like checking out with him, you know, so that the Paramatma becomes also, you know, the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the Paramatma, and the Paramatma is the internal manifestation of the spiritual master. So all the gurus are relating to each other. They're different. Prabhupada said, when I need to know about a disciple, Krishna informs me, and usually externally. Yeah? I said many times, I'm thinking about, you might have told president, I had so much like intelligence about how to do things, you know, manage things, yeah? That I didn't have normally. Yeah, so whatever your position is, Krishna gives you inconceivable mercy. Yeah, yeah. So same way, somebody probably is saying some grosser manifestation of mercy, maybe like you're saying, because this person can't appreciate, subtler thing like that, things like that. Yeah. So Prabhupada keep. Hare Krishna mantra keep. Nine gates keep. For tomorrow, text 5. Yeah. And tonight, Iso Upanishad. The conclusion. May my body be burnt to ash.